This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Addictions come in many forms, and expat Christian workers are not immune. Maybe it's something you're fighting with right now. Well, we're going to learn more about addictions today as MemCare's Jonathan Griffiths visits with a special guest. Carl is his name. He's been a pastor for many years, and he has been and is a counselor to expat Christian workers in many different countries around the world. I hope you'll join me as we listen in on this conversation with Jonathan and Carl.
Now, in your experience overseas, what are some of the things that you find people are facing and struggling as they're working overseas?
Well, there's a number of things that people wrestle with. I did a survey just in the last year, and the highest percentage of problems is marriage issues. Yeah, people still get burned out. They still get depressed. They still wrestle with their teammates and that kind of stuff. And those things are still going on. But marriage issues seem to be coming more and more to the top. And along with marriage issues are various addictions, particularly pornography.
Okay, so what is an addiction?
Everybody you read has defined it differently. I like to think of addiction as any person, substance, event, or activity that we use to self-medicate the pain that's in our life, in our soul.
So actually, you expanded a little bit more than what we commonly hear about. Normally, we hear about drugs, alcohol, pornography being one. So you're also saying work?
Work, very definitely.
Sporting activities?
Yep.
For example, running?
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Things that we don't normally think of as being addictive. They do something for us, and we get something out of that.
Now, why is it so hard to change a habit or an addiction?
Well, mainly because change comes slowly for anybody in anything. See, the problem isn't alcohol, or the problem isn't pornography, the problem isn't drugs. If there were no drugs, if there were no alcohol, if there were no pornography, if our hands were tied behind our backs, if our voice box was removed, we'd still find some way to act out. I know guys who have filters on their computers to block the bad sites. They've installed software, so their entire web history gets reported to their accountability partner, and they still find ways to view pornography. So we still get stuck. And what we do when we work with people is we try to find the underlying cause and attack the problem at the roots. If you only work with your acting out, if you only work with those activities, those things that we see, it's like putting a bandage on a cancer. You might have some temporary improvement, but the real problem hasn't been addressed. We humans are interesting. We don't like who we are. We don't like what we do, but we don't change because change is painful.
Yes.
It takes a lot of hard work, and there's no guarantees. See, we stay in the bad situations, we stay in the bad relationships, we stay in bad habits and bad behaviors because the pain of staying seems less than the pain of changing. So there's only two reasons why people change. One is the pain of the situation gets so bad I can't stand it anymore, so that the anticipated pain of changing seems less, so I'll make that move. Or two, we're able to see the benefit beyond the change and the reward that will come because of the change, and we're sufficiently convinced of the probability that that benefit will happen. So we can see the benefit sometimes, but we figure, I don't know if it'll happen or not, so it's not worth taking the chance. If we're really convinced that benefit will happen, or if the pain is bad enough, we'll change.
We fear change.
Yeah.
Plain and simply, we fear it.
Because it's the unknown. We don't know what's on the other side of the change.
So that habit then becomes very comforting because we fear the change.
Yeah. We don't like it. It's not something that we would want, but it's familiar. It's comfortable, I guess. We're used to it.
So we fear the change. Then is there patterns to or in addictions?
Very definitely. Regardless of the problems that we face, In most cases, there is a predictable pattern of circumstances or events or behaviors that take place just prior to or connected to the undesirable behavior. And that pattern is based on beliefs and events that date back as far as our childhood. And because these actions are so deeply rooted, we often feel like we have no control or no choice. We feel stuck, feel doomed to failure no matter what, because I've tried so hard, nothing works, nothing seems to happen. And so I keep falling back into the old habits again and again and again. But the thing is, we have to identify those destructive patterns. And identifying those patterns enables us to get at the real core of the problem, and that's where we need to focus our attention. I could draw out on paper for you the patterns that we follow when we're in conflict, patterns we follow when we get angry, when we try to control our situation, and when we act out in our addictions. I mean, there are definite patterns. You can, if you're a visual person, you can draw them out on paper. And once we recognize those patterns and understand what lies behind our acting out and the patterns that are there, then we can begin to develop a plan for change. But until then, the temptation will be just to focus on the symptoms, not on the real problems. And as we begin to implement our change or implement our plan for change, and we experience small successes, hope blossoms, and we begin to see a vision of what God intended us to be and what could be in our life.
So there's a lot of hope.
Yeah, if we see a little bit of change.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But usually we're so focused on the negative side of it, we don't even see that hope. Yeah.
Okay. Why is then pornography so addictive?
It's almost, you know, to most men listening, they say, duh. You know, of course, it's alluring, it's attractive. God gave us an amazing gift when he gave us imagination. The word imagination simply means image making. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to see things, conceive of things that don't really exist. And in our fantasies, we're able to create everything from comic book characters to unicorns to perfect sex partners. The frustrating part is we can only create them in our mind. Mm-hmm. They're not real. So the perfect partner who has no faults is only in our mind. That fantasy partner who has no needs of her own, she completely understands me, she's totally devoted to meeting my every need, and beyond that, that's enticing. I mean, that's exciting, but it's not real. Mm-hmm. You contrast that to the real live spouse who's living with you, who has needs of her own that don't necessarily match my needs. She's not completely understanding, certainly is not completely devoted to meeting my every need or want. If I'm angry or tired or lonely or discouraged, which one am I likely to choose? One takes very little effort, and it's a sure bet. Mm-hmm. The other one may or may not be willing. Even if she is willing, she could change her mind. And if she doesn't change her mind, certainly it will take time and effort and all of that. And so often we choose the easy way out. That in no way justifies the wrong action and the wrong choice, but it does explain how easily we can fall into the addictive patterns.
Now, you've looked at this specifically from male addiction to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're starting to hear a lot about is female pornography and the addiction to female pornography. How do women see pornography?
Men have a hard time understanding, but usually a site that is geared toward women would probably have the relational aspect in it, some kind of an interchange, some kind of an aspect. I've never been to one of those sites, but my guess is that's what would have to be, because that's what's attractive to a woman. Men are visual. Women tend not to be, although some are. But the attraction for the woman is the emotional benefit that she's getting out of this. And so a pornography site for the woman would have to include that segment. I just read recently that 30% of the people who access pornography websites are women. I'm not sure how they figure that out, but they have their ways, I guess.
Now, you used the example earlier with male pornography and saying that they can get what they want on the internet, but it takes work in the relationship that they're getting. When you pull it out, it's the same for both men and women.
Right, right.
The same root causes are still there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The woman looking for that emotional connection, the intimacy, isn't getting it from her husband. And so she'll find a false intimacy with somebody else in a chat room or some other place. And it's not real there either, but it satisfies temporarily that need that she has.
So it's coming back to what you said at the beginning. It's looking at this, at addictions, pornography, alcohol, work, whatever it is, as the tip of the iceberg. You really have to get into the root causes of what that is.
That's right.
And some of that finding out what the root causes is fear of change.
Oh, yeah. Not just fear of change, but fear of anything. Just fear of being exposed, fear of being found out. All of those fears come in that keep us from getting help.
That's another statement you made there, is the fear of getting help as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fear to get help.
Yeah.
How will people see me? How will people perceive me? Do you find that working with those that are working overseas, often because of the positions they're in, it's harder for them to seek help?
Often, yes, because sometimes they have leadership positions in their organization, in their company, their mission, whatever. Yeah, to admit that they've got a problem, who's going to find out? You know, all my subordinates are going to find out. What are they going to think? And so they don't get help.
Jonathan Griffiths talking with Carl about addictions and how they affect the expat Christian worker.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.